Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to our program, Al-Fiqh ala al-Madahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. The date today is the 7th of Dhul Hijjah, 1443, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 7th of July, 2022. We have our Honorable Mufti Sapia with us in studio after a long time, and Mufti Sapia is here with us. Mufti Sap, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa Zaid Khan, jazakallahu khairan.
Our topic today is on Hajj. Mufti Sahib, many of us have not been for Hajj. Therefore, could Mufti Sahib please give us a virtual experience of the journey of the 5 days of Hajj?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we have discussed Hajj many, many times, very briefly in 2-3 minutes, that on the 8th, today is the 8th day in Makkah Mukarramah. So the Hujjaj go to Mina, they read Zuhr in Zuhr time, Asr in Asr time, Maghrib in Maghrib time, Isha in Isha time, they spend the night there. And the next day, the day of Arafat, they are still in Mina. So the whole first day is introductory and Sunnah. Because people are still coming in from Medina, Munawwara, other places, some are performing Tawaf Umrah, some are performing Tawaf Al-Qudum, some are performing other ibadats and what have you. And then will be the day of Arafat, and tomorrow is Friday, so definitely Friday and day of Arafat is the best day of the Islamic calendar, and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time also. So after sunrise they will go to Arafat, and then there will be the Adhan and the khutbah and the salat and so forth performed there at Masjid Namira, Zuhur and Asr. Never do you have Jummah salat in Arafat. You have Zuhur and Asr. And you combine it, obviously, there. And then in the camps and tents also, we advise everybody they should combine it. And we used to combine it as well. And that is the verdict of the Hanafis, of the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis. The Hanafis, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad say so. Only Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah states that if you are performing in your camp and tent, you should read it separately. But we pass the fatwa on Sahibain's call and verdict on that. So in that way, you have consensus as well. So, and then the whole afternoon is dua, dua, and more dua. And every Nabi came to Arafat. Then after sunset, you go to Muzdalifa, you read Maghrib and Isha there, and then you pick up your pebbles, and then you rest there, and then inshallah, that you try and wake up early and you read your tahajjud if you can, Fajr in first time, and then wukuf of Muzdalifa before sunrise you leave. Remember all these places you're still reading Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, you're making Subhanallah Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah Allahu Akbar, you're still in Ihram. And then the Saturday, the third day is very, very busy. You come to Mina, you pelt the big Jamarat, and then remember the law, by the big Jamarat there's no dua. So any none of the days you make dua at a big shaitan. And then will be the slaughtering and so forth. Today the agents do that normally, the hadi, the mashukr, then the shaving of the hair for the men, cutting of the hair for the women. And then everything is halal except husband-wife relationship. Normally we don't go the first day for tawaf ziyarat because people are exhausted. So we go the next day because the crowd also is very big. But anyway, people want to go that Saturday, Sunday, all is fine. And you know, perform Tawaful Ziyarat in your normal clothes and 2 rakat salat. And Tawaful Ifada, Tawaful Ziyara is the same term. And same Tawaf, Hanafi say Tawaful Ziyara, Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbali say Tawaful Ifada. And this is compulsory. And thereafter, Sa'i will be done. And then the night of the 11th, 12th, and 13th. And we encourage people to stay there the night of the 13th. The pelting will be done done all 3 days, 11, 12, 13 of all three jamarats after Zuhr, meaning you read Zuhr Salat, then you go before Asr, after Asr. And the crowd is small at that time because people go pelt any time, remember that. And then before you depart home, so you will find that you have to perform Tawaful Wida, and after Tawaful Wida, there's no Sa'i. So this basically are the days of Hajj. We have to pray dua, Almighty Allah protect the Hujjaj wherever they are. Allah, they went with such hopes, aspirations. Majority of them have gone for the first time, and you know the problems with this year Hajj and so forth. So Allah Ta'ala protect the Hujjaj and everybody, and the Haramain Sharifain, Masjidul Aqsa, and all our holy and sacred places known as Mashair. So in that way there, Allah Ta'ala make it an accepted Hajj for one and all.
Mufti Sahib, coming to Qurbani, what are the virtues of Qurbani?
Regarding Qurbani, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us in a noble Quran, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. We all know the surah, and that is Surah Kawthar, that perform your Eid al-Adha Salat, and then you must make Nahar. Nahar means you stand, the animal is standing like the camel, and then you sacrifice it, and the cow and goat and sheep is Zabah, and Tazbahu Bakara, that the animal will be on the land, on the sand. Regarding the virtues of it is mentioned in Mustad Ahmad, Mishkat Sharif. Ma hadhil adahi ya Rasulullah. What is this udhiya? Why is it called udhiya? Udhiya, duha, salatul duha, chas salat, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 11:30 you read. So people sacrifice that time normally. So ayyuhsharan nasu duha in the Quran Sharif. So anyway, that year we see they ask Nabi alayhi salatu salam, he the master alayhi salam said, he a sunnatu abikum Ibrahim, is the way of your spiritual father Khalilullah Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Sahaba were the most intelligent people of this ummah, so they asked, wa ma lana fiha ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, what reward incentives are there for us? Qala bi kulli sha'ratin hasana, for every hair on the animal you will receive the reward. So millions of reward, provided that we do it without riya and sum'ah, without showing off and so forth. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen, that verily my salat, my prayer, and my nusuk, my sacrifice, my life, my death, everything is solely only for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Mufti Sahib, upon whom is the Qurbani wajib?
Remember, the term wajib is only according to Hanafis. According to majority scholars, it is sunnat muakkada al-kifaya, which means that if few people do so, for example, in Cape Town or in Kimberley or any other part of the world, I just use this as an example. So the rest of the community are absolved of that community, of that the responsibility. So Hanafis only say wajib, remember, and then you have must be a Muslim, not non-Muslim. The person must be aqil baligh, their children is not compulsory, must be sane and not insane, Allah forbid. You must be sahibun nisab. Sahibun nisab means minimum threshold, but not like zakat. Zakat, you have to take the whole year into consideration. Here you just take the days of qurbani into consideration. Alhamdulillah, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th. So now Sunday will be Eid. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday before sunset. So those are the days of slaughtering, and those days you have the means, so then you have to slaughter. So one is difference is there's no hulanil hul, they don't have to be 1 year. Second one, anything that extra, you take all that into consideration. So whether it's our clothing, whether it's our shoes, whether it is our cars, whether it is our cell phones, whether it is, all these are considered as non-essential items. So you will add all these issues here, ladies, their cutlery, crockery, everything. And then if it's 7,500 rand or more, then qurbani is compulsory. So according to the Hanafis, and you must not be musafir. If a person is musafir all 3 days, then it won't be compulsory upon him. So the thing you must remember, according to Hanafis, that every person, so it's myself, is compulsory. compulsory. My wife is compulsory. My two sons who are 20, 18, 17 years old. My two daughters who are 15, 16 is compulsory upon them. So we need to understand that, because people today just confuse issues. They more worried about, they want to make for their deceased parents of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Ummah. All that is nafil and voluntary. First you must worry about your own one, and that is compulsory, but only according to the Hanafi school.
Mufti Sahib, what is the time of Qurban?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and you must write the name of the book. You must remember that Hafiz ibn Kathir, Hafiz Imanuddin ibn Kathir, was a genius, was a giant. He wrote so many great, great books, and Allah Ta'ala accepted his works, and that Tafsir ibn Kathir, Tafsir Tafsirul Quran al-Azim, till today, among all, you can say, is one of the most maqbool and accepted Tafsir. So he wrote another book, Al-Masailul Lati Infarada Biha Al-Shafi'i Duna Ikhwatihi. Those masail and issues where Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah is one side, and the other three Imams, the Hanbalis, the Malikis, the Hanafis are one side. So Imam Shafi'i is one side. So this is one of those issues. So now take South Africa, for example. So Eid day we know is Sunday. So after Eid Salat, we slaughter 10th, 11th, 12th. So these 3 days, everybody accepts. But can you slaughter on the 13th, the last day of Tashriq? So now 10th will be Sunday, 11th, Monday, 12th, Tuesday. So Wednesday, can a person slaughter? That's the question. Yes, you can slaughter only according to Imam Shafi'i, Rahimahullah. So remember this, and Salafis also today, they follow Ibn Taymiyyah and so forth. So they say it's permissible, so you can slaughter. But according to Aimma Arba, only Shafi'i says this. And if you want the academic discussion, then go to the book I referred to now, Al-Masailul Lati Infarada Biha Shafi'i Duna Ikhwati. Hanafis and Hanbalis and Malikis say not permissible. So I remember once there was a big controversy in Malawi that they slaughtered the goat or sheep or cow or whatever the animal on the 13th. So I said it's permissible because 90% of the people there who are the indigenous, the population there, they follow the Shafi'i school. So remember, the Sheikh told them, she's right. So that, but remember, from academic point of view, rather you do it on the 10th, 11th, 12th, so you come what we call Al-Khuruj Anil Khilaf. You come out of all difference of opinion, and that way there you don't have problems and so forth.
Mufti Sahib, what is the shares of the Qurbani animal?
Remember that for goat and sheep and all that is one per person. So that also we should know is one animal per person, one animal. Yes, if you're making nafil, you Mauna Zahid Khan Damat Barakat, to whom you got for yourself, two sheep. So one for yourself, and one you say that is for the ummah. So that first one, Hanafis will say is wajib, and majority will say sunnah muakkada. And then the second animal, so that's one animal per person, the first one. Second one will be that nafil. And now you say for the ummah, for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ummah, million, billion, trillion, zillion people. So all that is fine, there is no problem with that. So we must draw a distinction that first one is for ourselves, and then if you want to slaughter extra or buy extra shares in a cow or bull or ox or whatever you, so all that will be the nafil one that you are taking, voluntary one for thawab and so forth. So therefore, there will be no confusion on those issues there.
Mufti Sahib, coming to the age of the animals, is it the teeth?
The goat and the sheep must be 1 year old, and the cow has to be 2 years old. This is a minimum. So goat and sheep 1 year old, and the cow means the whole cow family, the bull, the ox 2 years old, and the camel will be 5 years old. So now we don't know much, but they tell you the teeth and so forth and so on. So as long as the zahir, the prima facie evidence, is not making takzib, is not rejecting what they are saying, you can accept it, it's no problem. نَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِالزَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ مُتَوَلِّ السَّرَائِرِ. That is the law of Islamic jurisprudence. We pass the law on the prima facie evidence, the superficial, and what is inside and all that, that is now Allah Ta'ala only knows. We are not told to go and probe into those matters. However, there is one interesting masla here. The masla is regarding the sheep. So let's say there is one healthy sheep, right? And it is only 6, 8, 9, 10, 11 months old. Meaning 6 months or more, but less than 1 year. But if you place it with the group of the 1 year sheep, you won't be able to differentiate and distinguish between it. So the fatwa will be, this is the exception to the rule. That's what the Imam Shafi'i was a genius. So he said in his Risala, ما من آمين إلا وقد خص عنه البعث. Every law of Islam, you have the general law, but you must have some exceptions, exemptions as well. So the exception proves the rule, not makes the rule for everything else. People must understand it today. So they say if 6 months is permissible in a sheep, then it's in a goat also. That's wrong, you see. So you can't apply qiyas and analogy on that. That is now wrong. So the point we're making here is this, that if there is a sheep, and that sheep is 8, 9 months old, and it looks like a 1 year, you can't distinguish. So the fatwa verdict will be, yes, it will be permissible as well. So that is the hadith also for that.
Muftizab, what about doing qurbani in other countries overseas?
We encourage that. You must remember, especially where people find it so expensive, I mean in South Africa. I know I'm doing overseas and I'm doing here also, inshallah al-Aziz. So if you look at it, yeah, the going rate is 3,000 rand plus minus per sheep, you know. So it's expensive. Not everybody can just afford it and so forth and so on. So my advice will be, this is advice now. One is iftar, the fatwa we pass. One is irshad, the advice we give and so forth. So this is irshad. I'll be open about it because you know the person. So when I went now recently to PE and so forth, and we're promoting the majlis, you must remember, as far as the qurbani goes, and thousands of people, mashallah, are very happy that they have an alternative. So, and Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib Hafizahullah, you know, that not from now, for 40, 50 years, he's doing such great khidmat and sterling yeoman service. So, yeah, that people have confidence in him. So we say that give 6,000 rand and he will slaughter the cow and everything for you there overseas. So when I went, yes, the money is slaughter finish and blah, and all. So all that is now like Isali Sawab and so forth and so on, right? For this one, and all this. So now when we come here Eid day, so I will be there, inshallah, you will be also what, inshallah. So we're going to the deer, inshallah al-Aziz. So when we're going there, so then we will slaughter, we will take the money to them, 3,000 rand plus minus, and per sheep, and then they slaughter it. So that is your own udhiyah, your own qurbani. So that is what we will encourage people to do, provided that they can afford it. So if you can't afford it, then just send the money overseas with reliable organizations, and whether it's 500 rand, 600 rand, or whatever. So look for excuse to make the qurbani. Don't look for excuse not to make the qurbani. You see, when Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, they're genius, these people. They're not ordinary people like me and you. That's the mistake people make today, you know. They say, hum rijal wa nahnu rijal. So you must remember that that's totally wrong. Allah Ta'ala gave them that iman, that ikhlas, that firasat, and ta'alluq with Allah. We can never dream of it. So you must remember that Imam Abu Hanifa was asked, what you say of udhiyah qurbani, say wajib. You say dalil, you say faswalli li rabbika wanhar. Al-amru lil wujub. Then look at this hadith, which is sahih, authentic in Ibn Majah. And that's why I tell people, look for excuses to perform the qurbani nationally, locally. If you can't, then send the money overseas with one proviso, provided that the people you are relying on are credible people, not chances. You know how many people are taking chances and crooking people and so forth. So man kana lahu sa'atun, whosoever has the means and you can afford it, and then he must make the qurbani. Man kana lahu sa'atun walam yudahi. So man kana lahu sa'atun ayyudahiya. He had the means to make the qurbani, walam yudahi, and yet he does not make the qurbani, then fala yaqrabanna musallana. This is wa'id now, the warning. Don't even come for Eid Salat. It's sahih, authentic hadith in Ibn Majah. So it don't mean people mustn't go for Eid Salat, the men. You must go. But the aim is make sure that you're going to perform Eid Salat, and thereafter you're going to make the qurbani. So that is the meaning and the message of that hadith there. So we need to understand things in the proper context as well.
Mufti Sahib, is qurbani wajib upon a traveler, musafir?
No, we discussed this already just now. We said that is not qurbani, not compulsory. Because remember that Hanafi say you must be muqim, and the other imam say it's not wajib upon anybody. So therefore there will be ijma that on a musafir there will not be qurbani that's compulsory. On minors, on children, it will not be compulsory. So these are all ijma'i on which there is consensus on these issues.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to give qurbani meat to non-Muslims?
Yes, according to Hanafi, it's totally permissible. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kulu wa at'imu wa dakhiru. So this hadith is sahih, open Bulughul Maram, open Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us and commanded us, you must eat from the qurbani meat. And thereafter, wa'at'imu, feed others as well. Wa'at'akhiru, you can store it and hoard it also, make baltong and so forth. So all permissible. Now the issue, can you give non-Muslim this qurbani meat? To sell qurbani meat, totally haram, it is not permissible. So I slaughtered, now I open butcher and I start selling it. That's haram, remember that. So you give it out, so can you give non-Muslim? Hanafi say yes. Shafi's and them say no. The same laws that apply to aqiqah, you know, when the baby is born, and then on the seventh day, today is Thursday, and the wife gave birth, so next week Wednesday will be the seventh day. So the same laws that govern aqiqah will govern others, udhiya and qurbani. Shafi's and them say in aqiqah and that, you can't give non-Muslims. So only Muslims. So similarly in qurbani you can't give non-Muslims. Hanafi say in aqiqah also you can give non-Muslims, and then in qurbani also you can give. So it is an academic discussion, but nevertheless that whatever fatwa will be, it is permissible to give the non-Muslims.
Mufti Sahib, which animals are not permissible for qurbani?
Remember that any animal that got a aib, you know, that in a hadith you will see it's mentioned about the eyes, the ears, the legs and so forth. So you must watch all these animals here. So the animal must not be ma'ib. It must not have a real big defect and so forth. Then some ulama, this is now from hadith point of view, it's not an authentic hadith, it's maudu or very, very weak. You can't say and attribute it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although some people have done so, but it's not right. If you want reference on it, open Ahsanul Fatawa, you will find a wonderful academic discussion. Adhimu duhaya. Rather say, ulama have said, then you're safe. Adhimu duhayakum fa innaha matayakum. They choose healthy, big animals, you know. So those will be the means of conveyance for you to enter into Jannah and Paradise. So we will say it is qawlul ulama. Don't say hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because some muhaddisin said maudu, some said very, very weak. No one ever said it's authentic or something. So therefore, best is that we don't quote, say it's a hadith, rather say qawlul ulama. So, and it's common sense also. If you go into the president, prime minister, king, ordinary people they are. Now you give them a car, you give them a computer, you give them a cell phone, and it's faulty, it's defective. So what are you doing? You insulted him. So when we giving this qurbani, solely, only for the love of Almighty Allah, it should be in what? Immaculate condition. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu anfiqu min tayyibati ma kasabtum. Spend that which is 100% pure and wholesome and good. Wala tayammamul khabith. Do not make intention of that which is torn, tattered, and got a defect and so forth. Walastum bi akhidhihi illa antuhmidu fi. If you turn the tables around, you yourself, you will not want to receive it. Why? Except you connive, that you close close your eyes. Chashamposhi, you make, as they say. So Islam taught us all this 1400 years ago and more. Inna Allah tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. Verily, Almighty Allah is very, very pure, and Allah Ta'ala only accepts that which is pure.
Mufti Sahib, can a person slaughter a chicken for qurbani?
No. So you must remember that if a person says that is jaiz, permissible, then huwa adallu min himari ahlihi. So Ibn Taymiyyah writes in his fatawa kitab, some people, they pass certain fatawa and verdicts, they are dwell min himari ahli. They are more astray than the donkey in their house. You know, it's an expression like. So nobody allows. You must remember, for qurbani, it must be min al-an'am. You see chapter number 6, suratul an'am. So what's the meaning of an'am? An'am means al-ghanam. It must be goat or sheep, or it must be bakar. It must be the cow family, the bull, the ox, the cow, and so forth. Or it must be ibil, and that is the camel family. So only these three families are allowed. You can't make with chicken and all these things here, or a horse and all that. Not permissible. That.
Mufti Sahib, can one freeze the qurbani meat from one year to the next?
100%. Just now we gave the hadith. Kulu at'imu wadakhiru. So remember, you can eat, you can drink, you can give feed others, and you store it. So all permissible. There's no problem with that. Gee.
Mufti Sahib, is it true that the animal we slaughter will become a means of conveyance on the Sirat on the Day of Justice?
Yeah, we just answered it now, so remember, it's not the hadith that.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you back to this program. Mufti Sahib, the next question is, why is Eidul Fitr after Ramadan and why is Eidul Adha after Arafat?
Remember that Islam always makes a distinction. Our life is not like the non-Muslim's life. If you juxtapose and compare Islam, you take any one of them, take Christmas. So if you ask the Christian why you celebrate Christmas, they'll say Jesus is born. But we ask them, where's the evidence for that? Not one Christian can prove anything. From their Bible is nothing like that. So it shows it is something concocted and fabricated. And remember, if you study the Quran Sharif and you study the Bible, then you will know that Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, his milad and honorable birth took place in summer and not in winter. December is winter in Palestine. So in the Quran also, Allah speaks of it, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِزْءٍ نَخْلَى تُسَاقِطْ عَلَيْكِ رُتَبًا جَنِيًّا. If you study the Bible, Luke, you will find, L-U-K-E, that they were grazing with the animals. That don't happen in winter. So it shows that that is a figment of the imagination. And see today, what is Christmas? That wine, dine, and swine, and so many women are getting pregnant, and fornication, adultery going on. And you take other religions, same thing also. You take the Hindus, that what they have. They have their busting of crackers and so forth and so on, Diwali. So that is their custom and so forth. So Islam says no. That when you have the celebration, two Eids we have, Eidul Fitr to Eidul Adha, it must be linked and connected to some major great ibadat. So take the 29 days or 30 days, you must remember, of Ramadan. Surah 2, verse 185. Then what Allah Ta'ala says, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ. You must complete the period, fasting, 29, 30 days. Then the night of Eid, the day of Eid, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُ. Then you glorify the name of Allah, because Allah Ta'ala conferred upon you the greatest gift. He gave us Iman, Islam, and Hidayat. And why we go out? وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. To thank Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, another Ramadan has reached its ending, and we will go out and perform that Eidul Fitr Salat. So you see that Eidul Fitr linked with Siyam, Qiyam, Ramadan, all that. Now Eidul Adha. So people are gone for Hajj. And you must know this also, Mozai, 90% of the people are unaware of this. For the Hujjaj, there's no Eid Salat. For the Hujjaj, no Eid Salat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't perform Eid Salat. So when performing Hajj, he didn't perform Eid Salat. Because you must remember that day is so busy, so that you have to pack, then you have to sacrifice, then you have to shave your hair, and then you can go and perform Tawafu Ziyarah, then your 2 rakat Salat after that, then Sa'i, and the crowd, and the heat, and so many things it is. So therefore, Eid Salat, you don't have to read. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't read. So for the Hujjaj, that is people performing Hajj. So the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif on the 9th of Zulhijjah is Yom Arafah. So what Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hajju Arafah. The greatest dimension and aspect of Hajj is what? In the state of Ihram, you must be in Arafat physically, and that is from after the time Zuhur time starts. So the sun moves away from the zenith, the istiwa, and then the wukuf time starts. You are in Arafat, and remember, in the state of Ihram, you made intention, now your Hajj is done. Meaning that the most important aspect of your person dies that afternoon, that evening, what you will say? You will say the Hajj is done. So remember that. Therefore, Al-Imam Tirmidhi Rahimahullah, what did he say? In Tirmidhi Sharif, Al-Hajj Arafah, then he commented, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ أُمُّ الْمَنَاسِكِ, that this hadith here is the mother, the greatest aspect and dimension of Hajj. And so, how you say Makkah, لِتُنْزِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَى, is the mother of all towns and all cities. So like that it is. So, the Hujjaj, that day Arafat finished, that night Muzdalifah, then next day they will carry on, but they don't read Eid Salat. So we now, whoever we are, we will perform Eidul Adha Salat. Why we will perform Eidul Adha Salat? For three reasons. Number one, that it is linked to Arafat already, but Arafat is finished now. And thereafter, remember that when you study Sadaqatul Fitr, that was Eidul Fitr, Sadaqatul Fitr. So we empower the poor Muslim people by paying the 30 rand, $2 and so forth. And now Eidul Adha time, then we sacrifice. And then we empower the poor people. Hanafis will say Muslim, non-Muslim. And Shafis, Ambalis will say Muslim. So remember that with the Qurbani, with the Udhiya, so Kulu wa At'imu, that you eat yourself and you feed others as well. So number one, it's linked to Arafat. Number two, it empowers people. Number three, we are in Islam. We don't build statues and we don't have all these things here. We emulate, imitate the actions of the pious people, and that is why we must remember that we say that this is that fattabi'u millata Ibrahim Hanifa. So you're following Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and then you go 3 days or 4 days if you take Shafi'i, but take 3 days for your sacrifice and slaughtering and so forth. Therefore, those days to fast is totally haram. On the first of Shawwal, it's haram to fast Eidul Fitr. And then Yomun Nahar, the day of, you must remember, eat. So you to fast is haram. Then Ayyamu Tashriq, so Yomun Nahar is 10th, 11, 12, 13 is haram. So these 5 days you can't fast. Why? Is Ayyamu Aklin wa Shurbin wa Zikrillahi Ta'ala. You eat, you drink, and you make zikr of Almighty Allah, and you thank Almighty Allah. Yes, one question that's very interesting, and very few people understand it also. Why did Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala make Arafat out of the haram? Arafat is not part of the haram. So Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifah, M3, 3M, that constitutes the haram. Right? First part. And Arafat is out of the haram, like Hudaybiyah, and like Tan'im, like Badr, and all that is out of the haram area. So remember, it's hill, is we call it hill in technical jargon. So that's one. But why did Allah Ta'ala say that you must go to Arafat, and then only your Hajj is done? If you can do everything, but you don't go Arafat, your Hajj is null and void. ثُمَّ أَفِيدُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَادَ النَّاسِ. So here also there are three reasons. Reason number one is مَا مِنْ نَبِيٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ حَجَّ. Every Nabi and every Prophet went to Arafat, and the dalil of it, the hadith in Tirmidhi, دُعَاءِ وَدُعَاءُ الْأَنْبِيَا مِنْ قَبْلِ, that my dua and the dua and supplication of all the Prophets before me. And his hadith is sahih in Tirmidhi Sharif, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ ala kulli shay'in qadir. So number one, every Nabi went there. Number two, if you look at the chronological order and the sequence of events, so before even Nabi Adam alayhi salam was created by Almighty Allah Jalla wala, Allah Ta'ala created everyone's arwah, the ruh, the soul, the spirit. So in alame arwah, in the realm of the souls and spirit, Almighty Allah took a covenant and pledge from us. And what is it, pledge and covenant? Almighty Allah Jalla wala said, Alastu bi Rabbikum, that am I not your sustainer, nourisher, provider? Alastu bi Rabbikum. Now when you study the ahadith, you find in Musnad Ahmad, the hadith says that this pledge took place at Wadi al-Na'aman. So the question arises, now where is this Wadi al-Na'aman? It's Arafat. So how our car vehicle license, every year we have to renew it. So the Hujjaj are invited by Almighty Allah Jalla wala, O Ummah, come to Maidan Arafat, the plains of Arafat, and renew that pledge and covenant. Therefore, when we used to go and take groups, I used to give them this training and coaching and say, because people don't know Arabic, I say you must read Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Try and complete your Quran Sharif day in Arafat, and then you start your dua. And third one, you must remember that say Anta Rabbuna, Anta Rabbuna, Anta Rabbuna, you our sustainer, nourisher, provider. That is the pledge we took from Almighty Allah. Alastu bi Rabbikum, qalu bala. Yes, why not? You are our Rabb and sustainer. So that is what we do. And then you ask Allah Ta'ala for all whatever you want to. So one, Anbiya alayhi salatu salam came there. Second one, remember that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke of it and so forth. Third one is this, the Ahdi Alast was taken there. And if you take another reason, the Quraysh, they used to say, Nahnu sukkanul Haram, that we are the main shots, we are the Patels, we are the Chaudhrees, we are the big shots, we are the trustees. So we don't go out of the Haram. Allah say, you don't go out, your Hajj is not done. So remember, so to crush their pride and arrogance as well, so Allah Ta'ala made it compulsory, you must go out of the Haram and into the hill. So therefore also Arafat is not part of the Haram area. So that's how you need to understand the importance and significance of the day of Arafat.
Mufti Sahib, before we go to the night of Eid, when does Takbir-e-Tashriq begin?
Takbir-e-Mutlaq. You must remember that now also to read Takbir is very good. So Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, you must remember, and is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So you read, so the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the Ummah, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ in these days, here, 10 days and so forth, they read abundantly At-Takbir, Wat-Tahaleel, Wat-Tahmeed and so forth. And read loudly also, Bukhari Sharif there, Sayyidina Abu Huraira and them used to read loudly. So, Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa La Ilaha Illallah, Wallahu Akbar, all that you can read. So that is anytime you read. So you call it Takbir, yeah? Mutlaq. So unconditional and anytime. One is Takbir-e-Tashriq. So Takbir-e-Tashriq, Hanafi say wajib, majority scholars say sunnah, and that starts on the day of Arafat. So today in Makkah, Mina, all that is the 8th. So tomorrow is the 9th. So tomorrow Fajr time. So whenever, like now this time here, so now if you look at it, it's 11:50 in South Africa, right? So there it will be 12:50. So the people have just finished their Zohar Salat, Masjid Khayf and all that. So now the people are busy. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. So that's what you will hear now in Mina. But what we would tell our people, that have your lunch and all that, and then they'd come. Anybody wants to contribute any currency, ABC person, XYZ, give them lillah and start going out. We send out the teams. So mashallah, you see the haji is thirsty and he's just waiting for somebody to bring water, juice, tea, and whatever else, you understand, fruit and so forth. And then you see the dua they are giving. So that is what the people should be doing there. It'amu ta'am, ifsha'u salam, layinul kalam. So these are the true qualities of the hujjaj. We must remember this type of things. So that is what they should be doing there now in Mina and so forth. Then we, after Asr, we have a talk, and then after Isha, again we remind them, because remember, people will play with the lights, and you know our people also, one will switch on, one will switch off, so we say cut off time, finish now, then everybody just sits quietly. So, then you wake up for Fajr, Tahajjud, and so forth, and then after Fajr, now, that on the second day, that's the second day of Hajj, you're going to go from Mina to Arafat, on the 9th, you start reading the Takbir, after 23 first Salat. So on the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. So 13th is 3 Salat, Fajr, Zohar, Asr. Here is one interesting discussion, Maulana. So our ulama also sometimes, you understand, that they don't want to encourage this, but we must encourage it actually. If you study both Eids, see the Quran, this you call the usloob, the style, the methodology of the noble Quran. When Allah Ta'ala speaks of Eid ul-Fitr, Surah 2, verse 185. Right, and when Allah Ta'ala speaks, you must remember of Eid al-Adha. So then it is Surah 22, Surah Hajj, and verse 37. So what does Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us there? That كَذَٰلِكَ سَخَّرَهَا لَكُمْ لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. That Almighty Allah teaches us in Surah 22, Surah Hajj, verse 37. See the big camel, you know, how big it is, and the cow, and the ox, and the bull. So Allah subjugated it for you. لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. So you should make the takbir, عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ, because Allah gave you guidance. So if you look at Eid al-Fitr, لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. You look at Eid al-Adha, لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ. So even after Eid Salat, we should be reading the takbir loudly. So therefore, is written in the Fatawa Kitab, وَلَا بَعْسَ بِالتَّكْبِيرِ بَعْدَ صَلَاتِ الْعِيدِ. So 23 for Salat, but after each Salat also, many a time our people didn't worry. But then, so we should encourage these type of things, that after the each Salat, read the Takbir, and read loudly. زَيِّنُوا أَعْيَادَكُمْ بِالتَّكْبِيرِ. Even Eid al-Fitr, remember, read loudly. All the Fuqaha say loudly for Eid al-Fitr, even Sahibain say so loudly, only Imam Abu Hanifa say softly. And for Eid al-Adha, everybody say loudly, including Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So you start on the 9th after Fajr, and then that 5 Salat, then 10, 11, 12, and then 13. So you will say 23 for Salat, and it's good and encouraged and desirable to read the Takbir, remember, on the day, on the Eid day after Eid Salat as well. So we should learn all these things here. Zayyinu a'yadakum al-Takbir is mentioned in Tabarani. See another point. That which when a Maulana imams don't do it, then what you expect the public to do? So Eid khutbah is the easiest khutbah to give. You must remember that. Anyway, you want to read something, just put takbir in between. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd, Allahu Akbar kabira, Walhamdulillahi kathira, Wa subhanallah Allah bukratahu wa asila. So many places are delivered Eid khutbah. I found it the easiest, because even if you forgot an ayat or hadith or whatever, you just put the takbir inside there. And before the first, so first you're going to have salat, and thereafter you'll have the khutbah and so forth. So remember that before you deliver the khutbah, the al-khutbatul ula, the first one, is mustahab. We say, and meritorious virtues, you say takbir takbir 9 times. Allahu Akbar, 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 Allahu Akbar. So that is before the first khutbah. And the second khutbah, 7 times. In mustahab to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Is the day we have to glorify the name of Allah. Allah is the one and only who's supreme. He is the only one who is majestic. It is His grandeur, His majesty, authority, sovereignty. Allahu Akbar. We are all non-entities. So that is what the Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha is teaching us all. But the Ummah today got their own ideas, you understood? So we have to educate them regarding these issues.
Mufti Sahib, what should the believer do on the night of Eid?
Remember that the hadith, this kalam on the hadith, that is weak, but is acceptable in Fada'il and so forth. If you open Targhib wa Tarhib, if you open Ibn Majah, you will find Man Ahya Laylatil Eidain and Muhtasiban Lahu, that you stay awake and make ibadat and so forth, then Lam Yamut Qalbuhu, the heart will not die Yawmat Mutul Qulub, meaning that day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will protect that person. So we encourage it 100%. You must remember that instead of people just killing time and wasting time, that you see now Ramadan finish and now is Eid Eve. You know, people use the word Eid, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. So the night of Eid. So then the people are busy with their new clothes and laughing, joking, movies. We didn't see this. Let us see it now. So all this obviously is haram. Similarly, Eid al-Adha, Quran itself is telling us, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. So when you say Eid, night of Eid. So what is night of Eid? The 10th night. So the night precedes the day. So remember that Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Zubayr and Sahaba say that this refers to the first 10 nights of Sul Hijjah. So inna Allah aqsama ala kulli dhi shanin. Allah Ta'ala takes an oath on that which is so important. But you see the Ummah today, what they do. So you must remember, if you listen to today's Nasiha, so you will hear that I spoke of Eid there. So I said that how you read Eid Salat, majority scholars got one and then 12 extra takbir, Hanafis got 6 extra. And which surah did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam read? Normal habit, adat mubarakah, adat sharifa was Subbihisma rabbikal a'la, and remember hal ataka hadithul ghashiyah. But sometimes and occasionally he habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam Eid time read qaf, surah qaf, and Surah Iqtarabat Isa'atu wa Shaqqa al-Qamar. So we must learn all these things here. Like I myself, you must remember, I just like to give the lecture and finish then. So then we tell somebody, you make the khutbah, the salat, Eidul Salat, and the, you know, Eid day, the salat is first, then the khutbah. So that, but sometimes they insist on all these type of things. So if you want to read the proper sunnah qirat, then these are the sunnah qirat, Subbihisma Rabbikal A'la and Surah Ghashiyah. Or you read Surah Qaf and you read Surah Qamar. So if you want reference, then you open Ibn Majah. So these are things that we must try and learn and implement and propagate and practice on it.
Mufti Sahib, the last question is, what is the hukam regarding the fasting on Eid day till you slaughter?
Remember that to call it a fast, I mean, it is now people, they just say, no, good. To fast on Eid day is haram, so you must remember that. So you must break it up into three. The first day of Zulhijjah till the 8th, remember that, of Zulhijjah. So you quote the hadith that is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, Kasiyami Sanatin. So a person keeps fast is sunnah, and Sunan Nasai is mentioned. Nabi alayhi salam also kept the fast. So remember, so the first 8 days you receive the reward, kasiyami sanatin. So that is one. Then the day of Arafat. So everybody works on their own country and calendar. So remember, and people say, no, I want to. Then keep both days, like South Africa, keep tomorrow, Friday and Saturday. So no problem with that. Otherwise, keep Saturday only. For that, the hadith is sahih. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكَفِّرَ سَنَةَ الَّذِي قَبْلَهَا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهَا. 2 years sins are forgiven. So the previous year and the coming year, the hadith in Bulughul Maram, Mishkat, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. So that is the day of Arafat. But condition, لِغَيْرِ الْحُجَّاج. For the Haji is not permissible. It's makruh for them to fast. They need more and more energy. They have to, otherwise they will get this dehydrated. Remember that. You know how hot it is and so forth. For shariba labana, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank milk to show people that you must not be fasting if you are a haji. Non-hujjaj, for them is sunnah to fast even one day. Then you come on the morning of the 10th. So if you look at Eid al-Fitr, inna nabiya sallallahu alaihi wasallam ya'kulu tamran witran. Then Nabi alayhi salam, you would eat dates, odd numbers, 1, 3, 5. And on day of Eid al-Adha, then Nabi alayhi salam would not eat and partake of anything. So first there will be the Eid Salat, and then the Khutbah, and then at the Musalla, the place where the Eid Salat was performed, so there they would sacrifice the animal, the camel or whatever you, and then it would be cooked as well. So then to partake from the animal after the Eid Salat, after the Khutbah, that is the Sunnah. And remember that people then write about Kabit, about Kaleji and liver. So we don't say that you must eat or is Sunnah just to eat that. But from the animal, the part that in portion that gets quickly cooked, you know, because it's very easy, that is the liver. So therefore in Alaw Sunan and that, the road is very good if you start eating from there. But any part you eat, so that is Sunnah. So that is what is meant. Otherwise, there's no fasting on the 10th. Because it's Eid day. It means that morning, you don't partake anything. And after the Eid Salat, and after the Khutbah. So normally, people will have breakfast, and then they go and make their Qurbani. So all that is permissible. There's no problem with that as well. And Eid day, when you meet, say, Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. And if you want reference, open Fathul Bari, you will find it there as well. So Allah Ta'ala make easy for everybody on this occasion of Eid and Qurbani and Hajj. Allah Ta'ala accept everyone's ibadat. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, let me give you the rundown quickly of what's happening. 12 o'clock will be the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Then 12, after that, 12 or 5 past 12 to 1 will be that Brother Uwais, mashallah, he will speak about Hajj and so forth. And then 1 o'clock the Adhan, then 1:05 to 1:30, we completing Surah Waqia, inshallah, today, and verses 75 to 96. Then 1:30 to 2, Surah to Shuara, verses 116 to 122. 2 to 3, Brother Yusuf Ali with the Hajj coverage. And then, mashallah, the repeat of this morning's Q&A. Mashallah, 6 brothers embrace Islam this morning with Allah's help. Then 20 to 4, quarter to 4 to 4, again, Brother Yusuf Ali with the update from Mina, inshallah. 4 to 5 will be Mufti Zarwali, rahimahullah, Hajj ka bayan, and that's in Urdu. Then 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the tafsir. 7:30 to 8, Maulana Yunus Patel. 8 to 10, Maulana Arafat and Maulana Salim Karim, inshallah. Then 10 to 11, Maulana Katani, inshallah. So that is the lineup. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah. We head on for the news now. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah.